Our talk should be a shorter one because we should have been ready to go to Wat Phu Chomkom by 4 p.m. Yesterday, our talk was on the Buddhist attitude towards happiness. And I try to describe 5 types of happiness that one who has developed himself can enjoy. That was to show that the practice of the Dhamma is the development of oneself. And the development of oneself also means the increase of one's happiness. We have talked on the happiness from the kind of contentious happiness up to the uncreated happiness. That is the absence of suffering, which is Nirodha or Nibbana. But for those who are happy, there is one unwholesome or unskillful state of life under the influence of which one should be careful not to fall. This unwholesome or unskillful state of life is the one that is very familiar to us. It is Pamada. Pamada is negligence or heedlessness or lack of earnestness or something like this. Its opposite is earnestness, watchfulness, heedfulness or carefulness, and also mindfulness. Apamatha or earnestness is a very important virtue, very often stressed by the Buddha. There is a simile of the footprint of the elephant. The Buddha says, just as each of all kinds, the footprint of each of all kinds of animals can be contained in the footprint of the elephant. The footprint of the elephant can cover all of those footprints. Even so, every virtue can be contained in the apamatha or earnestness. Or earnestness or diligence covers up all kinds of virtues. This means if we fall under the influence of pamatha or heedlessness, even though we know, we have learned so many kinds of dhamma or virtues, they will not come into practice because they are neglected. On the contrary, if we know even one or two virtues, but we are earnest and heedful. All of the Dhamma we know will be practiced. Therefore, they will be fruitful. It is like the Dhamma that are in the showcase or in the bookcase, in the scriptures. If we are heedless or we fall under pramatha, they will be like sleeping in the scripture. They are of no use. Therefore, the virtue of apamatha or heedfulness is very much stressed by the Buddha. Once he even said that, I do not see any one virtue that is of great help like apamatha or earnestness. Relying on apamatha, the wholesome or skillful states that have not yet arisen will arise, and those that have arisen will grow to the full. This is an important an example of that to show the importance of the virtue of apamatha. And we see that even on the deathbed of the Buddha, his last word was that all conditioned things are subject to decay. Work out your goal with diligence or with apamatha. I have mentioned earlier that those who are happy may fall under the influence of pramatha, which is the opposite of apamatha. It seems to be a common tendency for unworldly people or even unenlightened people that when they are happy, successful, or have attained to prosperity, they fall into indulgence or negligence. This is apamatha. In the opposite way, these worldly people, when they are oppressed by suffering or dukkha, or when they are threatened by dangers, they will struggle for survival, and this can make them strong and they can succeed, they become successful. In this way, many people become subject to the cycle of rise and fall. Individuals, families, society, countries, and even civilization have faced this fall into this cycle of rise and fall through pramatha. And then they will gain apamatha or earnestness when they are oppressed again by dukkha and threatened by dangers. This is the way of the worldly people. It is not a good cycle. It is the way of defilements or kilesa. This kind of apamatha earnestly that is practiced when people are oppressed by suffering and threatened by dangers can be called fake or false apamatha. It is not real apamatha. But as I said earlier, all enlightened beings can be subject to this pramatha or the lack of earnestness or even laziness, indulgence. In a sutta, we find the Buddha saying, a noble disciple who has attained to higher virtues, he has secured those higher virtues, then he becomes contented with the virtues he has attained to. Because of his contentment, he becomes heedless. He falls into pramatha or negligence. He is called pramatha vihari. The Buddha called him pramatha vihari, one who lives with pramatha or lives under negligence. This is a warning even to the noble disciple or Ariya Bukhala. Therefore, contentment with the higher virtues one has attained to can lead to pramatha or negligence. The Buddha say not to speak of a regress or decline from wholesome or skillful states. I do not praise even the steadfastness or being established in the skillful states. I praise only further and further progress in the skillful states of life. And you can see also in the Dhammapada, the Buddha speaks of disciple who has succeeded in the practice up to even the state of being an anakami or non-returner. He said that even though one has secured the happiness of nekhamma sukha, this means the sukha of the anakami, of the non-returner, so long as one has not attained to the asavakkhaya or the destruction of the cankers or on defilements, one should not come to a stop or do not come to ความวางใจอาจารย์เชษฐาโลว่ายังไงนะฮะ
trust
ความวางใจคือวางใจหมายความว่าหยุดนิ่งไม่เดินหน้าต่อหมายความเราทำอะไรได้แล้วก็เราก็วางใจไม่เร่งรัดตัวเองผมนึกศัพท์นี้ไม่ออกวางใจนะศัพท์นี้จะยากนิดหน่อยนะวัน so long as one has not attained to the destruction or eradication of all defilements, one should not come to วิสาสมาปาธิอัปปโตอาสวัคคยังนะ ตราบใดที่ยังไม่ถึงความสิ้นอาสวะอย่าได้ถึงความวางใจวางใจในที่นี้แปลยากนิดหน่อยนะคืออย่าหยุดนะนะอย่าหยุด your come to stop แต่ว่ามันไม่ใช่ exact meaning นะ one should not มันก็ไม่ใช่ trust นะ trust มันก็จะเป็นอีกอย่าง
ครับผมแปลผิดครับ
อย่าถึงความวางใจนอนใจกันนะ
complacent นอนใจคือ complacent
นะฮะ
complacent
นะ
นอนใจ
ก็อย่างนั้นก็แปลว่า so long as one has not attained to the destruction of defilements one should not come to complacent
one cannot be complacent
or one cannot be complacent นะเนี่ย this is the warning by the BuddhaThis is only example of what the Buddha has said about appamattha. Therefore, the virtue of appamattha is very important one. We can see that in the worldly way, in a family, parents,were very poor. They were oppressed by suffering or dukkha. And then they struggled hard. And after some time, they became rich. And they have sons and daughters. Their children are born amidst luxury and wealth.And then, if they are not trained in the right way, these children have a tendency to fall under the influence of pamattha. They fall into indulgence. They become lazy. They indulge in happiness, in pleasures. And then this family falls.And even civilization as the Roman civilization, their ancestors struggled hard, and then they brought the Roman Empire to the height of power. Then the people became indulgent andThe Roman Empire fell to the hands of the barbarians. This is the way of the worldly people. And even today, we have to use this kind of fake or false appamattha. I think in the social system of competition, people unconsciously fall under this circle or this cycle. Now, they are using the system of bringing pressure on the people.This means to bring people under the pressure of dukkha or suffering and to be threatened by dangers. Then in order that these people will struggle hard. To make this clear, I would like to call thisThe system of the created suffering and dangers. This social system of competition. It is the system of created dukkha and paya. Under this system, the people have to rely on themselves. They cannot depend on other people. If they do not struggle, they will starve or they will live very unhappy life. They will be very poor. And then they struggle and then they become strong and they can even push their society ahead in progress. This is to show the result, or it is in connection also with the set of virtues which we talked yesterday, the Brahmavihara. In society where people lack the first three virtues of personal in a relationship, they lack metta or loving kindness, they lack karuna, compassion, and they lack mudita, sympathetic joy, then people practice what can be called upekkha to the extreme. And upekkha, that is the extreme, is not all looking equanimity, but it can become even indifference. They are indifferent to the will and woe of fellow citizens, fellow people. And then these people have to depend on themselves. To this kind of extreme upekkha, people have to struggle hard. And this is a condition under the society that is the social system of competition. Therefore, I said that the social system of competition is a way of created dukkha and paya, or suffering and dangers. But this is not the good way. People can have the appamattha or earnestness, diligence, because of this pressure of dukkha and paya. They can have appamattha, but it is fake or false appamattha. Fake or false diligence, not a virtue. Because those people are concerned only about their own interest. They do not care for others. They do not practice it with knowledge and wisdom. And then we need what is called the true or real appamattha, the right kind of earnestness and diligence. What is it? It is appamattha, which is defined by the Atthakatha as the state of the absence of the lack of mindfulness, the negation of the negative, the absence of the lack of mindfulness. That is to be mindful all the time, to have mindfulness all the time. To have this kind of appamattha or right kind of earnestness means to be mindful of what we should do and should not do, to be mindful of what we have done and have not yet done, to be mindful of what we should perform and should refrain from. And we are watchful on happening, on that happening around us. Anything happening around us that can affect our life, family, society, the sasana, and the civilization, or anything, will be drawn into our consideration, drawn into our mind. And then, if we see anything that will affect our life, society, and so on, we submit it to the investigation of wisdom to see the causes and conditions that will lead to rise and fall, to the progress or decline, and then we manage them. This means if we find those that can be causes and conditions for the decline, we prevent or we eradicate them. And if we find anything that can be a cause or condition for progress, we bring it into practice. And this will lead to the only progress. This is the true appamattha. The Buddha say that an arahant is not liable to pramattha, is not liable to negligence, or not subject to the lack of earnestness. And this can be regarded as a standard for seeing a man whether he has developed himself and to what stage that he has developed himself. This means we can take this as a criterion of the development of a person. A person who has developed himself up to the stage of arahant only, that will not fall to the influence, under the influence of pramattha or negligence. And as it is the criterion of development, we should take this into our consideration on the time, so that people will not fall to pramattha and be to practice pramattha but we can see also that the development of man in this way is very difficult, because the people tend to fall into the vicious cycle of rise and fall to pramattha. When they succeed, when they become happy, attain to prosperity, they become heedless and indulgent. And then, when they are pressed or oppressed by suffering, threatened by danger, they struggle again. And then they succeed again, and they fall again in this way. It is the way of the civilization of man. And at this point that we can see, can we succeed in the development of human beings? Not to say of an individual, but now we should speak of a society or humanity as a whole. Can we develop people or all human beings to this stage of real or genuine appamattha or diligence or the lack of diligence? The lack of negligence, lack of indulgence. Can human beings succeed in this? At first, we speak much. We usually speak much, and the teachers of the Dhamma teach very much about how to succeed in the practice of the Dhamma. And in the world, the people also are trained in school, educated to make progress in society and civilization. But when they come to prosperity, the pamatha or negligence comes and they fall again. The point is here that can we develop people to practice this rian appamattha or the rian earnestness, or even the question can even be that can people be developed to this point of appamattha, the real one? And this is the point that the Buddha stressed for those who have been successful even in the practice of the Dhamma. Even though we practice so much, even though we become the noble disciple, we may become subject and fall into the influence of this indulgence again. And this is the point I would like to talk with you today. And as we have little time or shorter time, I would like to come to a stop here and let us have a talk on this point, or even on any other point that you would like to talk with me. How can he go on?
If anyone has any questions, you'd like, either if you have some paper to write them down, or else just go ahead and ask, and I can translate if the questions are not clear. ไปถามถึงเรื่องการอยู่คนเดียวและการอยู่กับหมู่คณะแล้วท่านถามว่าในพระสูตรมีพระพุทธองค์เคยตรัสถึงหลักการและเครื่องตัดสินว่าพระองค์ไหนพร้อมที่จะไปอยู่องค์เดียวแล้ว
อ๋อ yes there is a criterion the general one any of this state solitudeor community life, if one practices and wholesome and skillful states develop, then you should practice this. If you practice solitude or community life and then unwholesome or unskillful states develop, or increase, then you should not practice it. This is the general criterion. Even for the practice of other the virtues or other vata, such as the Tutankha, the Buddha said, there is a sutta or discourse on this. Is it clear enough?
When you talk about heavy mindfulness all the time, I listen to that right now, but I feel like sometimes I don't have the energy or the wisdom to know exactly what to do to be mindful. And I find it very difficult sometimes to put that into action.
อยากช่วยให้เคลียร์ทีนะ
ครับเรื่องการปฏิบัติให้มีสติทุกอิริยาบถหรือว่าทุกเวลานั้นท่านรู้สึกว่าบางครั้งรู้สึกว่ากำลังไม่พอปัญญาไม่พอที่จะมีสติทุกเมื่ออย่างนั้นขอท่านเจ้าคุณได้ให้คำแนะนำในการเจริญสติหรือว่าทำยังไงเราจึงจะได้มีสติแบบนั้น
I think this is a point for the five faculties, the insee. The five faculties are the sattha or confidence. Then viriya.Or energy, then sati, or mindfulness, samadhi, concentration, and panya, wisdom. In order to practice and progress well, we have to practice all of them, and bring them under the something we call samatha.Something like equality, but balance into balance, not equality. This means sometimes even though you have wisdom, but if you do not have sattha or confidence enough, then the wisdom or panya can become pra. Pra หมายความว่าไงblur, not land ไปข้างหน้าพุ่ง we should practice and push our practice ahead and sattha will make a point for wisdom that has no sattha to balanceWill be blur, have no pointless. Therefore, we should have confidence first, or sattha. Sattha, confidence, บางทีก็ไม่ตรงเท่าไหร่อะไรดีที่สุดฮะ
ยากครับ faith ก็ได้ครับ confidence
faith confidence but this is sattha I think you can understand better by the Pali term sattha if we have sattha wisdom will have a point and thenit will bring energy also. One who has panya may go from this to that, from one teacher to another teacher, and then his wisdom become pointless. When he has sattha, then.His wisdom has a point. He begins to listen to that teacher. And then if he has a confidence of faith or sattha in what point of the doctrine or what point of the practice, and then wisdom will work on that point. And then it will become effective. Now, sattha is needed.When you have wisdom, and they will work in connection with the viriya and samadhi also. You can see now that we have a point in the practice when we have sattha along with panya, and then samadhi can be developed more easily. Then we develop samadhi, and that samadhi is also or should also be balanced by viriya. But when you have sattha, viriya can be developed more easily, and then we have viriya or energy to balance samadhi. If samadhi is not balanced by viriya, we can fall into the attachment to happiness or even indulgence or become lazy, and then samadhi is too much, and then we have to balance it by energy or viriya, and viriya make us very strong and the progressing or going only ahead. And then going ahead too much can cause us to be anxious or to be in anxiety, and then it has to be balanced by samadhi. And then sati will take the duty of something like to adjust the balance of the sattha and panya, of faith and wisdom, and the balance between energy or viriya and samadhi or concentration. And then we need all of them in order to go ahead. แต่ว่ายังไม่ตรงคำถามใช่ไหมฮะตรงหรือเปล่า
ตรง
Therefore you need five of them. Do you think this is to the point of your question or not? At least we have to consider ourselves, to see in ourselves that are all of them, do all of them exist in ourselves in the practice. We need all five of them.
May I ask, usually when the word sati is used, as in the five indriyas, is sampajanya implied in sati in that case?
Or
are sati and sampajanya always together? And what is the particular function of sampajanya in its relationship with sati?
When sati is mentioned alone, we usually have as understood sampajanya. But sometimes sati can be practiced without or almost without sampajanya when we only develop the mind. In the way of wisdom, it is to be sure that sampajanya is needed. But to practice in the way of mind development only, that is in the way of concentration or samadhi, it is only sati that is needed, because sati can lead to the samadhi. So sati is the starter, and then when we have started and we do not lose it, and then samadhi will follow. Therefore sati is the beginner or starter for the samadhi. But in the insee, in the five faculties, sampajanya is usually sampajanya is a name for panya or wisdom. And here in the five faculty, we already have panya or wisdom. Therefore, the sampajanya is here cover or included in panya. Panya here means also sampajanya. Sampajanya is only an aspect of panya. Therefore,
In some suttas, I'm thinking of the sutta dealing with the nutriment for avicca, where the Buddha says the nutriment for avicca is the five nivaranas, the five hindrances, and so on. In that list of tamas, sati sampajanya and in the reverse list, the food or the supportive conditions for vichha, sati sampajanya and the four satipatthan are treated separately. What is the reason why they are treated as separate?
Satipatthan and asati sampajanya.
ครับ
เดี๋ยวผมลืมแล้วว่าลำดับว่ายังไง
มีสติสัมปชัญญะมีก็มีโยนิโสมีศรัทธาเป็นอาหารให้เกิดอะไรฮะโยนิโสมนสิการมีโยนิโสมนสิการก็เกิดสติสัมปชัญญะมีสติสัมปชัญญะเกิดอินทรีย์สังวรเกิดอินทรีย์สังวรก็เกิดแยกสติสัมปชัญญะ
ออ
กเป็นธรรมที่เกิดก่อนแล้วก็สติปัฏฐานสี่ก็เกิด
We can see that sati sampajanya in couple are mentioned in general. Even without the real practice or the real practice for the progress in the Dhamma, sati sampajanya are something mentioned incommon or general situations, right? And now we can see that, sati sampajanya here means something for the beginners or when we start. When it becomes sati-patthana, that means we come into the real practice.Sati sampajanya is only something to begin in the practice, which is used in the common practice of people. To develop sattha, yes, sattha in Buddhism.Is called Agaroti Sattha, Mulika Sattha. Mulika Sattha means the Sattha that has some foundation. The foundation of Sattha is also Panya. This means the slight measure of Panya that we need in consideration.To believe or not. This kind of sattha, which is not without panya, has to begin with this kind of the development or slight measure of panya. And to have this kind of panya, yoniso manasikara can beเรียกว่าบีเกตเตอร์ได้ไหม
อินสติเกเตอร์
when we have yoniso manasikara that mean for example we listen to someone speaking and then we manasikara we think we consider what the person says is it reasonable or not. This is to think in the way of wisdom, right? And then when we see that, oh, his words are reasonable. As far as I know, his words point to the reality or the facts. And then we gain some confidence in him. This is satta. And it is something which we can call the satta that has a foundation. And from this satta, we can develop further the real wisdom. Because then when we listen to a person and we see that his words are reasonable, and then we begin to have satta, and then we take some point of his words to search for further truth, to search further for truth. Even a point of his word can be the beginning point for our development of panya. Therefore, it is this yonisomnasikan, or we can say that it is the first measure of panya that bring forth satta. Sometimes the satta come together with pasatha. Pasatha is the bright state of mind. When we see something that inspires, right? It is something that inspires us. We become interested in that. And then because of this inspiration, we have a relationship with that thing, that person that inspires us. And then satta is developed. But what can inspire us? For the practitioner of Buddhism, this usually is something that can lead us to wisdom. And therefore, you can also say that, oh, pasatha is the early stage or earlier stage for the development of satta. But it is in connection with yonisomnasikan also, if we have to have the right kind of satta. Because if you have only pasatha, it may be satta in the wrong way. If it is without wisdom or without any measure of wisdom. Therefore, we can say that yonisomanasikan or the slight measure of panya is the starter, and then we should have pasatha to accompany this yonisomanasikan, and then we can develop satta better.
I wonder whether you could help me with this part which is not related to what we have just spoken about. It is, how can actions of the past have karmic results in the present? What is the function of mind which carries the karmic momentum in the present moment? What is it what allows the mind to remember? I'm not sure about the function of Pavanta Sota. Maybe this is this function. Could you help me clarify that?
Panha leung kam.
Just have one. Me, จิตใจมีกลไกอะไรที่จะทำให้กรรมที่ได้ทำไว้ในอดีตได้มีผลในปัจจุบันเราถามถึง ความจำด้วยว่ากันก็สัมพันธ์กันว่าทำไมเราจึงจำของเก่าได้ทำไมสิ่งที่เราเคยทำไว้ในอดีตมีผลต่อปัจจุบันเราได้มันจะขอให้ชี้แจงอธิบายในเรื่องภวังคสูตรด้วยคือสงสัยว่ามันจะเป็นด้วยการทำงานของภวังค์หรือเปล่าหรือขออธิบายในเรื่องนี้
Usually we speak in way of accumulation, and this Pavankacitta is the accumulation of all karmas. And then we say that they lie dormant in the Pavanka, and this is the mechanism of the working of the mind itself.Which we call the Jitta-niyama. Then this means the connection between the two aspects of the law of nature, the Jitta-niyama and the Kamma-niyama. The Kamma-niyama is founded or based on the working of the Jitta-niyama. Jitta-niyama means the law of the working of the mind.And karma is the law of karma, the law of cause and effect. And in order for the karma to work, the karma is accumulated in the mind. And through the mechanism of the working of the mind, the karma is, what to say, to thai thot.สืบต่อ continue in the stream of citta. In this way, it seems like the pavanka citta is almost passive. It is just the continuity of the karma that have been accumulated, and it continues or is thai the thai thot
transmitted
or something like that in the current of the in the citta that work through its own mechanism. We can see the when we have this state of mind, then it is in connection with another state of mind or other states of mind. This state of mind appears, and then also some other states of mind stay together with it.And then these states of mind are together. At the same time, some other states of mind cannot come in. And then these states of mind, the one that we practice or do as a karma, is the beginner.And it is accumulated together with other states of mind. And then they work together to influence our life. All the time. We do not have to say that why or how it comes to the fruition. Even at that moment, our state of mind with this group or accumulation, this state of our mind is different from that state of mind of other people, even at the moment. And then at another moment, it is different also, because we have accumulated what can be called different causes and conditions in our own mind.